Good day, this is Greg, and I'll be reading the Vermilion County News for Tuesday, April 29th, 2025. Starting with the front page of the commercial news, the first story today is titled, Vermilion County Museum Seeking to Fill Bicentennial Calendar. And this is by Kayla White. In 1826, Vermilion County was officially established. As part of its year-long bicentennial celebration in 2026, the Vermilion County Museum is seeking local events to add to the public calendar, giving organizations and individuals more publicity. The goal of the bicentennial festivities is to honor the county's rich history and unique communities, according to Museum Director Sue Richter. Aside from official events, the county will host to celebrate the anniversary, including an open house at the Vermilion County Museum and others at Mann's Chapel and the Lehman House. Richter's team is hoping to add as many other events to the year's calendar as possible. Events submitted to the calendar are not required to pertain to the county's anniversary, Richter said. Rather than reinvent the wheel, what we're trying to do is get people going around Vermilion County to celebrate, to attend events that already exist, Richter said. We want people to be able to know what's going on in Vermilion County. The museum will add submitted events to the official online calendar on the county website. Printed materials associated with the anniversary celebration will include QR codes people can scan to be taken to a calendar for that month. This will replace costly and wasteful printed programs, Richter said. Annual events already planned to be added to the calendar include Muncie Baptist's Acorn Festival, Rossville's Christmas Parade, Catlin's Strawberry Festival, and Oakwood's 4th of July celebration, to name a few. One particular event the museum is hosting will be called From Mastodons to the Moon. The county will also have a traveling exhibit that will visit schools across the county during the school year and to libraries during the summer. It will be a historical exhibit, talking about all the towns in the county, Richter said, adding that the team is asking residents to volunteer to help make it all a reality. In addition to promoting local events, Richter said the anniversary team hopes to attend and participate in as many celebrations as possible throughout the county. We're working on putting together groups of individuals who will be able to go to the event, have a tent at the event, tell the history of that area, and then hand out more cards with QR codes, Richter said, adding that those people will be in costume, portraying characters from the past 200 years. The team also hopes to offer awards to events that are especially interesting. Richter said, but all the details haven't been worked out yet. As part of the bicentennial celebration, each village and town in Vermilion County will receive two hanging banners to post on their main road announcing the bicentennial celebration, Richter said. Anybody that comes into the county during 2026, no matter where they go, they're going to see the same banners in every town. They're going to see those signs all over and think, oh, what in the world is going on in Vermilion County? To have an event featured in the official bicentennial calendar, organizers should submit event details including name, date, time, location, and a brief description via email to lisa@whitesmith.us by June 1st. Volunteers are needed for various activities, including transporting setups, manning booths, and more, Richter said. You need to meet a lot of nice people. Or rather, you get to meet a lot of nice people and maybe go places you haven't been before. Those interested in volunteering can reach out to Sue Richter by calling the Vermilion County Museum at 217-442-2922. Next up, we have Tilton UPS Hub closing June 9th. Employees to be spread around Central Illinois. And this is by Kayla White. Tilton. Drivers at the UPS Hub in Tilton will deliver their final packages June 9th. Despite ongoing efforts on the part of local community leaders and business owners, including Tilton Mayor Bill Ware and Vermilion Advantage CEO Mike Marin, to keep the hub open. 50 employees will be relocated to different hubs across Illinois, according to Tilton Mayor Bill Ware. Marin, along with 30 other local business owners, sent a letter to the UPS headquarters in Atlanta, Georgia, on April 14th, calling on the company to reconsider. They have not received a response. "We would like a sit-down meeting with them," Marin said. "We would like a chance to put together something, whether it's an incentive package or something, to see if we could keep that facility open." A spokesperson for UPS told the Commercial News that the company is making strategic changes to optimize the volume in our network, improve efficiency, and continue to deliver on our customer-first strategy, something he said was announced in January of 2025. He went on to say these changes include closing a small percentage of our U.S. operations. "Treating our employees fairly remains a top priority for us, and we will continue to provide industry-leading service to customers in every community we serve," he said. As to the employees impacted by the Tilton closure, the spokesperson said they are extremely important to the company, adding that UPS understands the impact this may have on them and their families. "We are working to place as many employees as possible in other positions. We will work with those who may be impacted throughout the process to provide support," he said. According to Ware, who said he spoke with a public relations administrator with UPS, some of those currently working at the Tilton Hub will be sent to the Urbana Hub, while most will be sent to either Mattoon or Kankakee, depending on where they currently live in Vermilion County. "You're moving 50 jobs out of the area. You're moving 50 taxpayers out of the area," Ware said. UPS announced in 2024 that it is closing more than 200 locations in the United States this year, including the Tilton location, as part of its Network of the Future initiative. The shipping company aims to automate processes and consolidate locations in order to cut spending by $3 billion by 2028. Meanwhile, UPS and the United States Postal Service announced a partnership in April of 2024. Following a transition period, UPS will become the USPS's primary air cargo provider and move the majority of USPS air cargo in the U.S., the press release said. Marin said he believes the hub will close despite the community's best efforts. "This is one of the reasons that people are very upset with corporate America right now," Marin said. "This is a community that has done a lot of work for that company for a lot of years and done a good job providing a good place for their company. I'm pro-business, and I understand that business decisions have to be made. But at least have the courtesy to talk to us about it. Look us in the eye and tell us why," Marin said. Next up is a staff report titled "City of Danville Opens Application Window for CDBG Grants." The City of Danville is accepting applications for homeowners to apply for funding for needed home improvements. These funds can only be utilized for exterior weatherization projects, such as roofs, windows, siding, etc. Applications will be accepted between May 1st and May 15th and subsequently scored by a housing committee. The homeowners are required to be of low and moderate income families. To qualify for the program, the property must be within the legal city limits of Danville and must not exceed 80% of the area median income, or AMI, for the area as determined by the 2025 income limits determined by the Department of Housing and Urban Development. For more information and an application form, or to request assistance with the application forms, contact the City of Danville Community Development Division at 217-431-2321 or visit the office at 1155 East Voorhees Street, Suite A. Applications are due to the City of Danville Community Development Division at 1155 East Voorhees Street, Suite A, via mail or in-person delivery no later than 4 p.m. on May 15th. And our final front page item today is One Down, One to Go by Kayla White. The courthouse annex building in downtown Danville is no more. Built in 1895 to 1896 as a post office and courthouse, it held various businesses over the years, including F.W. Woolworth's. After ownership of the building moved to Vermilion County in the 1980s, it was remodeled from its original Renaissance Revival style to a more modern look, housing the courthouse annex. Now that the annex building is down, work crews must sort through the wreckage, separating aluminum from steel for recycling. Work to demolish Brzee Tower should begin in the coming weeks, according to a timeline issued by the Public Works Department. Next, we have another staff report. This one is titled, Jury Finds Danville Man to be Sexually Violent Person. A Danville man has been found to be a sexually violent person by a Vermilion County jury. Otis Arrington, 66, was committed to the custody of the Illinois Department of Human Services following his recent court case. The case was prosecuted by the Office of the Attorney General, Kwame Raoul. Arrington had been detained in the IDHS Treatment and Detention Facility awaiting his trial. This offender's violent history indicates his release would pose a threat to women in the community, Rail said. I am committed to protecting Illinois families and communities from offenders who have been deemed sexually violent by the court. Arrington was convicted in Indiana in 1978 of rape and burglary and was sentenced to 20 years in prison. Just 4 months after his 1989 release and while on parole, Arrington committed aggravated criminal sexual assault, home invasion, residential burglary, armed violence, and armed robbery in Danville. He was convicted and sentenced to 60 years in prison for those charges in 1990. Under the Sexually Violent Persons Commitment Act, Rail's office files cases seeking to commit offenders to the custody of IDHS. To be committed under the Act, a person must have been convicted of a sexually violent offense and suffer from a mental disorder. The Attorney General's office must also prove that the offender is likely to commit future acts of sexual violence if released from custody. Once committed to IDHS, offenders are reevaluated on a regular basis to determine if they continue to meet the criteria for commitment as a sexually violent person. Senior Assistant Attorney General Nicole Bartell and Deputy Chief William Bryant handled the case for Rail's Sexually Violent Persons Bureau. And for obituaries today, we only have one. And it is for James Kennedy. James Kennedy, 75, of Danville, died at 6:13 p.m. on Thursday, April 24th, 2025, at La Bella of Danville. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Rortvedt Funeral Services and Crematory at 3 South Hodge Street in Tilton. Next, we're going to turn to a story from the News Gazette titled, For All the Kids at Heart, May fundraiser organized by the Stoltzes of Fithian to benefit wreaths across America. And this is by Jennifer Bailey. Danville. As any Lego aficionado knows, the sky's the limit with the colorful toy building block creations. It's all about what you can do next, even involving a motor and LED lights. It's being creative, and the whole family, no matter what age, can get involved, said Brian Stoltz. The level of detail is just astounding, he said, of elaborate Lego displays that he and his wife Kim and others build for displaying at Brickworld and other events. The Stoltzes live in Fithian and started on their Lego journey several years ago when they became spectators at shows around 2018. Then they wanted to take the next step and become displayers, and now participate in shows and conventions in Schaumburg, Indianapolis, and elsewhere. Stoltz said the shows are very popular, and he thought, why aren't there any, at least smaller shows, in East Central Illinois? The Chicago Area Lego Users Group, or SHILUG, which the Stoltzes are a part of, showcased their Lego displays in October at the Danville Public Library. Now, Stoltz is organizing a Lego show fundraiser for Wreaths Across America from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. on May 3rd at American Legion Post 210 at 201 Prospect Place in Danville. There's a suggested donation of $2 per person or up to $10 per family. Wreaths Across America, which started in 1992 and has 3,702 locations worldwide, is a nonprofit organization honoring veterans by laying wreaths on their graves during the holiday season. At the Veterans Affairs National Cemetery in Danville, 11,816 veterans are interred, and 4,404 wreaths were placed on their graves in December of 2024. This year's wreath ceremony will be on December 13th. Local coordinator Tammy Williams said that in Illinois, of 186 Wreaths Across America groups for locations that raise funds, they came in second for funds raised most recently. Williams has been leading the local effort for 13 years. This is all donation-driven, Williams said. She said she's good with logistics, but admits she's not the best with fundraising. I welcome anyone who has ideas, she said. It is definitely something we just kind of try and get people. They don't have any regular annual fundraisers, and the number of wreaths they acquire varies each year with the funds raised. The Lego Show fundraiser has 9 Lego displayers so far, including from near Bloomington Normal, Kankakee, the Greater Chicago area, and West Lafayette, Indiana, and more can be added. Sponsors are also welcome. At the library, and to be at this event, the Stoltzes will have their Downtown Parade Lego display. It stems from and is inspired by Danville's and Westville's Labor Day parades. There is a military color guard with flags in the parade, cheerleaders, a group of Shriners, other vehicles, floats and kids along the sidewalk with candy bars. It's a happy occasion. It's something all ages, all lives enjoy, that type of atmosphere, Stoltz said. Another of their larger displays, County Fair, has a Ferris wheel with lights and other carnival rides, midway games, a grandstand, and food vendors. The feedback they get includes a lot of smiles and chuckles, the pointing out of properly done details, and sparks of memories from their Lego displays. It's better than $1 million, Stoltz said of all the feedback. Stoltz said he was an off and on process. It was an off and on process for him constructing and dabbling with Legos in his life, and he'd rediscover it again and again. The Stoltzes build together and separately, with Brian, who is a U.S. Navy veteran and semi-truck driver, having an interest including military, and Kim, who works at a printing company in Champaign, works on small habitats. They both have a strong Christian faith, and she's working on some Bible-based passages and stories. They have three displays of just Lego minifigures in their kitchen. He's a Marvel fan and has a lot of X-Men in one and a lot of Avengers in another. He also has six members of the military and has recreated himself and Kim multiple times in Lego form. Another table in the house typically has an ongoing Lego project on it. Some of the Legos, such as the Botanicals Lego Flowers Collection, don't have the little kid vibe, he added, about Legos evolving. Kids at heart can enjoy the plastic bricks too, he said. The Lego show in May could be the first of an annual fundraiser. It also will have Legos to play and build with. There will be door prizes too, including from AutoZone Distribution Center. There also will be a raffle for a patriotic quilted throw made by his mother, Pam. The apple doesn't fall far from the tree, as far as with creativity and stuff goes, Stoltz said. Pam has graciously donated the quilt and is well known for her sewing and quilting in the county. The event is truly a family-friendly event, Stoltz said. For more information, contact Stoltz at his email address, Christian_medic@yahoo.com. Turning back to the commercial news, from the sports pages, we have a story by Chad Dare titled All-Time Great. Murray, Kentucky. 23 years ago, Caitlin Young was born to parents David and Connie Young. Little did they know back in 2002 that their firstborn daughter would become one of the all-time greats in NCAA women's college basketball. Last month, Young's collegiate career at Murray State ended in a 92-57 loss to the Iowa Hawkeyes in an NCAA tournament game in Norman, Oklahoma. But what she did in 5 years with the Racers is something that Murray State coach Rochelle Turner will never forget. You don't owe me another minute. You don't owe me anything. You've given this program everything, is what Turner told Young after the game with Iowa. That's truly how I feel about it. I mean, she really changed the projection of this program, and she stuck with us when it was hard. We did a system change, and she agreed to that, and she fought through that. And then she had the ability to go and make money this year, but she never wavered. She said, I want to come back. I want to win a championship. The special young lady that she is what I'll always remember. But she played her best basketball this season and got her jersey retired. Just an exceptional career for an exceptional young woman. To those around Vermilion County, and especially Oakwood High School, that's not surprising. Young has always been a county favorite as a four-time All-State selection and multi-sport athlete. But did she ever think that her name at number 14 on the all-time NCAA scoring list, along with players like Elena Deldon, Maya Moore, Shamik Holdsclaw, and Cheryl Miller? During my senior year at Oakwood, I would have never thought I would have done what I've been able to do here at Murray State, said Young, who finished with 3,029 points in 155 career games, an average of 19.5 points per game. I've grown so much as a person and a player in so many ways. It's crazy to see. I would have never imagined any of this. So how did Young get to Murray State and become the program's all-time leading scorer? I went to Murray State because of the relationships that I had with Coach Turner, the rest of the staff, and the girls that were already here, Young said. Turner was straight up with me, told me the truth when I was getting recruited, and I really bonded well with the girls that were here. They took me in as a freshman and groomed me to who I am today. In this day of the transfer portal, why did Young stay at Murray State for all five seasons? A lot of people believed that I had accomplished everything that I could at Murray State after my senior season, said Young, who became the program's all-time leading scorer in the final game of her senior season. But I needed a championship. That's what I really, really wanted. I saw the potential in the team that we had coming back. Young was absolutely right. Murray State would claim the Missouri Valley Conference Championship, beating Belmont 83-62 in league's championship game, earning a berth into the NCAA tournament. Young was named Most Valuable Player of Missouri Valley Conference Tournament. And that came with an interview on ESPN. And Young, who had been a little timid in high school, was a shiny star on national television. I had a lot of years of practice here at Murray State. I was doing the post-game press conferences as a freshman, said Young, who earned a bachelor's degree in organizational communications and in a few weeks will be getting a master's in human development and leadership. Honestly, a lot of things that I learned in classes here at Murray State helped me become a better leader and actually speak up when it was needed. Honestly, it came with experience and confidence that I got from my coaches and teammates. I'm not always super crazy confident, but they have given me a lot of praise that helped build me up. While her collegiate eligibility has expired, Young recently signed with an agent, Next Page Sports, with the idea of playing professional basketball. We are going to see where that takes me, said Young, who wasn't drafted in the recent WNBA draft. I would really like to go overseas and have the experience of playing outside the country. It would be awesome to play in the WNBA, but this is an opportunity to explore different countries and continue to play basketball. That's one of the reasons why her pending marriage to Jaden Cox, her boyfriend since high school, is set for the summer of 2026. That, and I don't want to try planning for a wedding during my final year of school, Young said. Jaden has always been there for me, super, super supportive. Having him by my side and being able to lean on him for support during the hard times of being a student athlete has meant a lot to me. As for her long-term future, Young says she would like to work in college athletics. And finally, from Community Briefs, the Fountain County Old Guard VFW Post 2395 First Friday Dinner will be Friday, May 2nd at the Post at 1212 Liberty Street in Covington. The dinner will include tenderloin, sandwich or on a plate, fries and baked beans with a cost of $15 for the public and $12 for veterans. Serving hours are 5 to 7 p.m. Indiana time. And at 7 p.m., the Covington Soccer League will sponsor a bingo fundraiser. Multiple cards will be played over 20 rounds. The cost is $25 to play, with all proceeds going to the Covington soccer team. And that takes us to the end of our time for this Tuesday, April 29th, 2025. Again, my name is Greg, and as always, it's been a pleasure to read for you, and I hope that you have a splendid day. Take care.